Hello, and thank you for downloading Sporting Witness from the BBC World Service. Today, we're bringing you the story of one of the most famous female swimmers of all time, the Australian Dawn Fraser. This report is by Kirsty McQuire.
In the 1950s and 60s, Australian swimmer Dawn Fraser was the fastest woman in water. Dawn's coach, Harry Gallagher.
41 world records. She held the world record for the 100 freestyle for 15 years. So I thought that was a pretty good effort.
But at the Tokyo Olympics in 1964, Dawn became almost as well known for her rule breaking as her record breaking.
All the Japanese people loved her. She was a sort of person that you would fall in love with because of what she did, breaking the rules. The only ones that went against her were the Australian Swimming Union.
Born in 1937 in Balmain, Sydney, Dawn's attitude and ambition were evident from an early age.
Oh, Dawn Fraser, 12, 14-year-old, was a real tomboy who wanted the world at her feet. And then I met a man called Mr. Harry Gallagher, who was a well-known swimming coach who came over into our swimming pool and tried to take over, and young Dawn Fraser didn't like that.
I didn't want anyone to tell me what to do, and she didn't want anyone to tell her what to do, so we sort of clashed, and after about 3 or 4 days of this, she decided she'd let us in, so we swam and became lifelong friends.
She realised that I had a lot of talent, and he put it to himself that he was going to tame this young girl from Tiger Town.
In the 1940s and 50s, Balmain was a staunchly working-class Sydney suburb, nicknamed after its rugby league team, the Tigers. Harry may have eventually taken the girl out of Tiger Town, but he couldn't quite take Tiger Town out of the girl.
I think he matured the young girl from Tiger Town and set her a program in her life to become the best swimmer in the world.
What sort of girl was she?
She just had that zing, that zip. It was inherent. I realised this girl was so different.
Last night I met a new girl in the neighbourhood.
I met her dad, and he said to his wife, we should have him over for dinner. And what did I get? I'll never forget it. Curry, sausages and mashed potatoes. And I thought, I'm in.
And that's how the relationship started as a swimmer and coach.
And she was a sprinter, wasn't she?
That's what she was built for. Anything over 200-300 metres, she wasn't interested. So she says, well, I'll tell you one thing, right up, I'm not training with those bloody girls. They're too slow. Put me in with the boys. And she started to beat the boys. From that point on, we got better and better and better.
Something tells me I'm into something good.
Dawn got so good she won gold in the 100-metre freestyle at the Melbourne Olympics in 1956. And she retained the title in Rome in 1960. Then in 1962, she became the first woman to break the 60-second barrier for the 100 metres.
The press loved her. I've got newspaper posters that say, Glorious Dawn wins again, or What a beautiful dawn.
Everything looked bright for the Tokyo Olympics in 1964. But no sooner had Dawn won her place in the team than she lost her mother in a fatal car accident.
I was driving the car that unfortunately flipped over on the highway, and my mother was killed instantly, and I had broken my neck.
How did you get back in the pool after that?
You know, I had a lot of great people behind me, my coach, Mr. Gallagher, my team members, they said, we need you on the team. And I said, yes, well, you know, I will do it for my mum.
Training for this was terribly hard because she had a brace around her neck. It was pretty tough stuff. You know, she came from Scottish forebears. Her dad was a Scot. And I think she had a bit of that Macbeth in her somehow.
Was there ever a doubt in your mind that you'd be able to compete?
The only doubt that I had was the fact that the doctor told me I couldn't dive into the water. But I persevered and I had one dive in for a time trial. And I got out and I said to my coach, I think I'm ready.
But Dawn had to go to Tokyo without Harry. This was still the amateur Olympic era, and as a professional coach, Harry wasn't permitted.
He coached me by correspondence. We had that much trust in one another. I wasn't going to let him down.
So just 7 months after the accident, Dawn was getting ready for the Olympic final of the 100-metre freestyle at the Oyogi National Gymnasium in Tokyo.
It was a sort of a modern-day shrine, it looked like to me, from the outside, and then to walk in to just see this magnificent swimming pool, I always remember the sensation of the crowd. I've became a lover of Rak Banadov. I used to, just before a race, go into his dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, and I used to do that over and over and over again and just completely click out.
26-year-old Dawn was the last of the swimmers to come to the blocks.
I always went into the race thinking, I'm the fastest in the world. They've got to break a world record to beat me. I had my mum's engagement ring on. I remember standing on the block and I remember touching it just before I dived in the water.
Dawn's closest rival that day was 15-year-old Sharon Strouder of the USA.
I was aware of her because I knew how fast she could swim.
At just over 25 metres to go, it was neck and neck.
But when Strouder couldn't come with me, I thought, I've got this race won.
With seconds to go, Dawn pulled away to take the title.
As I finished, I just said to myself, that was for you, Mum. And I knew I'd swum the race of my life.
We'd done the impossible from a long distance, and it was a wonderful love affair, a sporting love affair. I felt very proud and crying a fair bit.
Dawn Fraser had made history by becoming the first swimmer to win the 100-metre freestyle three times, an Olympic hat-trick. But she'd also broken the rules three times by marching in the opening ceremony instead of resting, racing in an unofficial swimsuit, and helping herself to Olympic flags with the Australian hockey team.
A couple of the boys said to me, come on, Fraser, it's about time we got a flag for you. So, of course, I went along and we got two flags down, and as there were three of us, we decided to be a little bit greedy and went for the third one, and, you know, we got caught. We were not charged. We were asked to apologise.
But by this stage, Australian swimming officials had run out of patience with Dawn Fraser.
When I came back to Australia, on the placard outside of the newsagents was Fraser banned for 10 years.
The Australian Swimming Union at the time spoke of safeguarding its good name and the need to maintain a strong discipline.
The reason they gave was the fact that I wore an unofficial swimsuit, which I did because my swimsuit was too small. And I did march in the opening ceremony. Of course, people jumped to conclusions thinking that I got banned for 10 years for stealing an Olympic flag, but that wasn't the reason.
Was she a rebel, a rule breaker, or even a trouble causer, would you say?
Yes, she definitely broke rules, there's no doubt about that. She was semi to blame, but they were not fair-minded men.
The 10-year ban was eventually repealed, but too late to allow Dawn to train for the Mexico City Games in 1968. And yet, even as a spectator, she made a splash.
She came over to the Mexico Olympics and someone said, oh, come on, Dawn, you can get in and have a swim. So she borrowed a swimsuit, she got in 7,000 feet altitude, and she's an asthmatic. She belted down and belted back faster than they won the Olympic title with, and she hadn't been in the water for 2 years.
Once she'd retired, Dawn had a family and ran a pub before becoming a politician, and she remains no stranger to controversy. But she's regarded as one of the greatest sportswomen in Australian history, and also as what the Australians call a larrikin, a boisterous but lovable free spirit.
I am known as a rebel, and I'm proud to say that I'm very happy to be called a larrikin and a rebel. If I see a kid breaking a world record, I'll get up and start shouting and screaming out, that's a larrikin, you know, because I'm excited.
You've got to have a character. And she had the character. It used to come out. And when she mixed it with salt water, it came out real hard.
Summer, I swam in the ocean and swam in a swimming pool. Salt my wounds, chlorine my eyes. I'm a self-destructive fool.
That was swimming coach Harry Gallagher ending that edition of Sporting Witness from Kirsty McGuire. The programme was a Spark Lab production for BBC World Service. For our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/witness.